इवो तत्सद् भ्यो नमः। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सो हैविंग ग्रेजुअली थरली एनालाइज्ड ईच एंड एवरी लेयर ऑफ पर्सनालिटी, बिफोर एनालिसिस वी सी द लेयर ऑफ पर्सनालिटी एज आत्मा. After the analysis, we negate it as kosha. Kosha means anatma. An anatma which is as though covering. Even though anatma cannot cover the atma, it is as though covering the atma. Then finally, after analyzing the anandamaya kosha, anandamaya atma, then what cannot be negated finally is, until the anandamaya kosha, otherwise called avidya, otherwise called karana shariram, what cannot be negated is the very experiencer. Because experiencer is not an object of experience. The object of experience alone is negated here as the anatma. Whereas the subject of experience, the experiencer as the object, and that experiencer again, so I explained to you last class, again the people who are given to this analysis, sometimes they come up to this anandamaya kosha successfully. After coming there, not knowing how to take ownership of the self, they still wait for the experience of something. For the experience. That's what I discussed last class. What is Atma Jnanam? What is Atma Anubhutihi? Atma Anubhavahatu. Atma Anubhava is always there. Atma Jnanam is what is required. And when you arrive at the experiencer, you understand the experiencer being there. But the experiencer is not something which has a form, and a formless abstract reality which you arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing itself is the experiencer. There's no other experiencer. So this reality arrived at in terms of its nature of knowing, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is not the experiencer really speaking. But that reality enjoys the status of being the experiencer from the standpoint of the experienced. Even anandamaya kosha. And that between the experiencer consciousness and experienced ignorance or sukhavritti, what is the distance? There's no distance. There's no distance. And that reality itself is the swarupam of the experiencer. There's no experiencer other than that chaitanyam, other than consciousness. Once you arrive at that as, and we have to see, there is no I other than that consciousness. Therefore, we have to cognitively resolve this I sense in that formless abstract reality, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness as aham, Chaitanyam Brahma. I itself am consciousness. That's what we have to arrive at. We don't need to wait for an experience. No other experience is required. Experiencer being there itself is the proof that that which obtains in the form of experiencer is the very reality, which is your swarupam. You are the experiencer. There's no other experiencer other than yourself. You are the experiencer. You resolve the I sense in experiencer, resolve the experiencer status in consciousness, and you have to say, I am consciousness. And this is what is there. And what is that consciousness? What is that reality? Obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, That is what is discussed in this verse, what we saw, which exactly like I said, this is the meaning already given in, already unfolded by the verse, Natatra Suryo Bhati. You all must be remembering because we have done elaborate classes on that mantra. Natatra Suryo Bhati Na Chandra Tarakam Nema Vidyuto Bhanti Kutoyam Agnihi Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam Tasya Bhasa Sarvamidam Vibhati. And this verse we always chant before doing the aarti for Bhagavan. The idea is Tatra Suryaha Na Bhati Chandraha Na Bhati Nakshatrani Na Bhati Vidyutaha Na Bhanti. So Bhati is a third person singular present tense verb which means shines. Bhati means shines. So shines means that which shines by itself, that which shines independently, that which does not depend upon any other light to come to light, that which is self-luminous, is we say Bhati. So generally we think all the sources of light, only opaque things shine after the light, whereas all the lights shine on their own. But there is a sunlight or a moonlight or stars. We don't need a light to see whether there is sun, moon, whether there is sun, star, whether there is fire. We don't need any other light because all these sources of light are self-luminous. They shine. That's what we think. Generally, opaque things shine after the light, sources of light, but the sources of light shine on their own, shine independently. They are self-luminous. But whereas here, this verse tells you, no, only from the standpoint of the opaque things, the sources of light are self-luminous, but even the so-called self-luminous, self-effulgent, self-shining, self-revealing, the sources of light, such as sun, moon, or lightning, fire, etc., all these sources of light, definitely, are also shine after some other light. So, bhati means shines independently. So anubhati means shines after some other light. Opaque things shine after all these different sources of light. But all these different sources of light, which are said to be self-luminous, which are self-effulgent, from the standpoint of the opaque things, even these sources of light also do not shine on their own independently. They shine after some other light. What is that light? We can say it is your seeing power. Your seeing power is the light. If the seeing power is not there, then no sun, no moon, no source of light will enjoy its existence. All the sources of light will be as good as non-existent if we do not have seeing power. So, the so-called sources of light, the self-luminous bodies are also dependent on our jnana indriyam, our chakshur indriyam, our seeing power to come to light. Therefore, this sense power, these sources of light, etc. So the mantra says, Chandraha na bhati, Suryaha na bhati, na tarakam na bhati. Even these stars, etc., lightning, etc., all these do not shine. Na bhati, na bhati, na bhati. Why? They also anubhati only. Suryaha also anubhati. Shines. Chandra bhati. Of course, tarakam anubhati. Every source of light, we think it is shining by itself. But every source of light shines after the light of seeing power called Jnana Chakshurindriyam. Because, and here, similarly we can say, not just as all the sources of light shine after seeing power, or every object shines after its corresponding power. The sound sounds off, shines after the power of hearing. The smell shines after the power of smelling. Taste shines after the power of tasting. In the tongue, even touch, the object of touch shines after the power of touch. So every object, all the five different objects shine after their corresponding subtle powers, which serve as instruments of knowledge. Therefore, each sense power is like a light. Each sense power, each jnana indriyam is the light which lights up its corresponding object. That is why I told many years ago, I might have told in the class, Pancha Devaha. I think in Drigdrishivika class, I mentioned it to you, Pancha Devaha. Five devas, five sense organs are five devas, five lights, five effulgent lights. Even these sense powers are the lights which light up their corresponding sense objects. So all the sources of light shine in the light of seeing power. They shine after the seeing power. And this, even therefore, we can say opaque things shine anubhati, light sources of light bhanti, and each source of light anubhati shines after your seeing power shines by itself. Now seeing power also doesn't shine by itself, it shines after some other light. That is the, I told you already, for each sense power to shine, to be functional, to serve as a sense power, there must be corresponding vritti, corresponding thought. If there's no manifestation of knowledge obtaining in him of thought, then there cannot be vrittis. Then if these vrittis do not back up, the sense powers will be non-functional. Therefore, that's why antakaram is called jnana indriyam. Antakaram also is called antakaranam, internal instrument of knowledge. The mind is called internal instrument of knowledge because for its external instruments of knowledge or sense organs can be functional as thoughts are there. Only when the mind is functional, corresponding thoughts rise. For all these thoughts to rise, there must be ultimately manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, this antakaranam, therefore all the sense powers shine after the light of mind. I mean light of antakarana vrittis. We can say one word instead of vrittis, we can say mind, antakaranam. So the sense power, light of sense powers, the light, every sense power, light of sense power shines after the light of antahkaranam. So now sense powers also anubhati, each sense power anubhati shines after antahkaranam bhati. And in antahkaranam also does not shine by itself, because antahkaranam bhati means what? There must be manifestation of knowledge, only then antahkaranam can shine. So if there's no manifestation of knowledge, antahkaranam is also what? Antahkaranam is as good as non-existent. Antahkaranam is non-functional. Therefore, we can never understand the mind if there's no manifestation of knowledge. Therefore, there must be manifestation of knowledge means there must be source of manifestation. Therefore, the source of manifestation is the ultimate light, because of which the light of antahkaranam shines. So the light obtaining in the form of antahkaranam, the mind shines because of the ultimate light of source of manifestation called absolute reality. So absolute reality, the ultimate truth, the abstract, subtlest, formless, all pervasive, only secondless reality, which can never be objectified, which is available for recognition as the surup of the experiencer. Of the nature of knowing, And that reality which is of the nature of mind, therefore implied by the term jnanam, is the only absolutely self-effulgent reality, is the absolute light in the presence of which the light of antahkaranam, the light of mind shines. For mind also, antahkaranam also anubhati, and that light of consciousness, light of knowledge is implied by the term atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. So atma jyotihi is swayam jyotihi, jyotihi in the presence of which the light of mind shines. Manaha also, antahkaranam also anubhati. Atma bhati, atma swayam bhati. Atma alone swayam bhati. That's why, because why does it know? It is of the nature of knowing. And what is that? In the presence of which light atma shines, there's no other light. So you can ask, in the what is that light? In the presence of which mind shines, it is in the presence of the light of consciousness, which is atma. And what is that light? In the presence of which the sense power shine, it is the light of mind. What is the light in the presence of which the so-called external source of light shines? It is the light of sense power. What is the light in the presence of which all the opaque things shine? You can say all this different of light. So the world of opaque things shine in the presence of the light source of so-called sources of light. All these lights shine after the light of sense power. The light of sense power shines after the light of antahkaranam. The light of antahkaranam shines after the light of absolute reality, which is implied by the term atma or brahma. So brahma jyotihi, atma jyotihi, param jyotihi is the only swayam jyotihi. The only light is the, not, so knowledge is not the light, but the light is not the knowledge. The knowledge is the absolute light. Please understand, light is not the knowledge. But knowledge, the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge is the absolute light. Why do we call this reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge as light? Because that which illumines is light. So that is the definition of light. That which illumines is light. And the knowledge does illumine. Knowledge illumines what? The reality illumines what? Reality obtaining in the form of knowledge illumines sukham, illumines the ajnanam, illumines the mind, thereby illumines the sense organs, thereby illumines the sense objects. It is the light of, so there's no light which lights up, which illumines the light of consciousness. That's why we call it absolute light. So we call this as the absolute light. And here, many people get confused. That is why they say we meditate, we practice meditation, and we see light, we see that light, this light. They have no idea, clue of what light means. Really speaking, we have to understand, we have to remember, light is a word which has to be understood in terms of its definition. That which lights up is the light. So, sun is the light because it is self-effulgent, it shines, lights up everything. So just as sun lights up the whole world of opaque things, so other sources of light also contribute for illumining the opaque things, such as moon, stars, etc., fire, etc. And here, but even these lights, not only these externally obtaining sources of light and the lights, what about our sense powers? Each sense power, see, light is not the sense power, but every sense power is also a light. Why? Because each sense power illumines its corresponding object. Each sense power is of the nature of illumining its corresponding object. Therefore, each sense power is the light. And now, antahkaranam, really speaking, light is not the light is not the antahkaranam, but antahkaranam is also light, because antahkaranam illumines the sense powers. And similarly here, that which illumines the antahkaranam is the absolute reality, the abstract truth, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. We say, therefore, consciousness. So the light is not the consciousness. Light is not the reality. Definitely light is not the reality. But absolute reality obtaining in the form of consciousness is the absolute light, because it is of the nature of illumining. So that which illumines is the light. Therefore, consciousness is the light, but the so-called light is not consciousness. Consciousness is the light because it illumines. That which illumines all the sources of light illumines the illumined objects, and that there's no other light which illumines consciousness. Therefore, we say this absolute light is Paranjyotihi. And then when we do this arti, we say, O Lord, you are essentially of the nature of knowledge, and you are the absolute light of consciousness, light of knowledge, because of which, in the presence of which, without doing anything, just by your presence, you illumine everything. Whereas now this person, your personification here, this murti, you know, we are showing, waving this light. So, Suryahana Bhati, Chandrahana Bhati, where is this fire, you know, which is going to illumine you? That is the meaning. Kutaha ayam agnihi. How can this fire illumine you? Because you are the only absolute light of consciousness. This is the meaning we saw in the last class. This is the meaning actually revealed, reflected again in this verse which we saw. So, Swayam Jyotir Bhavatyeshah Purosmad Bhasate Khilat Tameva Bhantamanveti Tadbhasa Bhasate Jagat. So, Swayam Jyotihi Bhavati Yeshah. Swayam Jyotihi Bhavati Yeshah. Yeshah means what? This Atma is the only absolute light which is of the nature of self-effulgence. Asmat Purha Bhasate. Asmat Purha Bhasate. So, only in the presence of this light of consciousness, you know, Bhasate Akhilam. Akhilat Asmat Akhilat Bhasate. Asmat Purha Bhasate. And Tameva Bhantam Anubha Anveti. So, this entire objective universe shines only after that light of consciousness. And tad bhasa jagat bhasyate. It's only by the light of consciousness, light of knowledge, the universe, the inert material universe is brought to light. So, jagat bhasyate. Jagat bhasyate means, I told you many times, the word jagat means that which comes and goes. That which becomes manifest, that which becomes unmanifest. That which becomes manifest, that which becomes unmanifest is called jagat. Jayate, gacchati, iti jagat. So that which doesn't continue to be, that which is not continuously available for perception, experience and enjoyment. That which discontinuously, that which is discontinuously available for experience and enjoyment is what now? That which comes and goes is jagat. And this universe, whenever it becomes manifest also, there's a time it is manifest, there's a time it is unmanifest, whenever this universe is available for experience and enjoyment, then that is because the world is illumined. Jagat bhasyate. See, bhasyate is a passive verb. Bhasyate means what? A passive verb. Is illumined. Universe is illumined. Jagat bhasyate means the universe is illumined. Illumined by what? Illumined by bhas. See, bhas means sakarantaha napumsakalingaha bhas shabdaha. Bhas means light. So this entire universe is illumined by the light. Bhasa is an instrumental case. Bhasa jagat bhasyate. The universe is illumined by the light of that. Tad bhasa. Light of that absolute reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore, by the light of reality, which is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, there's no absolute light other than pure knowledge, arive oli. There is no other real light here. Knowledge is light. Knowledge is the light. Consciousness is the light. Light is not consciousness, but consciousness is the light. For here, tad bhasa, by that light of consciousness, this entire inert material world of objects shines, is illumined by that light of consciousness. Therefore, everything shines after that reality only, which means there's a thing which is not, everything shines after that reality. Now we have to remember here, just as opaque thing shines after the light, so-called light, the whole world of inert material objects shines after the light of consciousness. Okay, what's the next verse? 17th verse. I'm giving a new verse now. Yenedam janate sarvam yenanyedam. Yenedam janate sarvam tatkenanyena janatam. Vijnataram kena vidya. Vidya vijnataram kena vidya. Chaktam vidyetu sadhanam. See, somewhere people have this understanding. because all the Upanishads talk about the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness as the light. Therefore, people say, when we meditate, we also have this light. We have a flash of light. See, any light, you have any flash of light, and we put that light, turn the light off. That is not the light we're interested in here. So here, now, this particular verse, Yedam janate sarvam tatkenanyena janatam vijnataram vijnataktam vidyetu sadhanam. See, Swamiji used to say before, if you want to say something on Vedanta, say, and where do you get this idea from? If you ask, you can simply say it is all from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Because Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you can always say it is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you can escape. You know why? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad has so many things. Lots of things are revealed, discussed in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So, that is true. And even Vidyaranya Swami, now, the 17th verse here is actually like just as the previous verse was taken from the other Upanishad, Mundaka and Katta Upanishad example, that mantra Atatra Suryo Bhati, and this particular verse is taken from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a 15th mantra in the 5th section of the 4th chapter. Okay, this is exactly 15th mantra from the 5th chapter of the 5th section of the 4th chapter. 4, 5, 15. And what does it say here? Yena idam yenedam. If you break it, yena plus idam yenedam. Yenedam janate sarvam. So sarvam you can say. Sarvam means everything. Idam sarvam means this entire universe. This entire objective universe, which is constituted of innumerable countless forms, names and functions. So all the living, non-living, mobile, immobile, elements and elemental, all the beings, the world of all the beings. Idam sarvam janate. Janate means, see, janati, third person, singular, present tense verb. Janati means knows. K-N-O-W-S, knows. Janati, and he is given as janate. Idam sarvam janate. So here literally the word idam sarvam always means the entire objective universe. But here we have to take them as the word idam stands for all the living beings. We don't need to worry about the non-living things here. Generally the word idam means this. Sarvam means this entire universe. And the word entire universe includes all the living and non-living things. But here idam sarvam indicates all the animate, sentient, living beings. So idam sarvam janate means all these animate, sentient beings which have life, all the living beings here have experience. Means what? They experience. All the living beings experience. They're sentient. Okay. Janate. So all the living beings experience what? All the living beings experience everything else. Every living being experience everything else. That experience on the part of living being, experience of another thing on the part of living being is possible because of this consciousness. Yena. Because of which consciousness every living being, all the living creature here is capable of experiencing. Yena janate. Tat kena anyena janatam. Tat kena anyena janatam. Tat kena anyena janatam. That consciousness, because of which all the beings have experienced, are capable of experiencing, capable of knowing. Cannot be proved. Which means it is not possible for us to prove that which proves. It is not possible for us to prove the prover of everything. By something else. See, the one who proves, the one who is evident, the one to whom everything is evident, you know, to whom everything is evident, has no evidence. There's no evidence, no other evident other than the one who is evident. There's no other, no, nothing else in the world can prove the one which, one who proves the existence of everything. So what is proof? What is the evident? What is the evidence that the world shines? Your sense organs are the proof that the world is. The sense organs shine. What is the proof? Your antakarnam is the proof, evidence. Antakarnam functions, doesn't function. What is the proof? You are the proof. And you are there or not. What is the proof? You are the only proof. You are the only evidence. Therefore, it is not possible, it is the knower of everything, the one is the only proof, is the only one which proves, and the one who proves the presence of everything, existence of everything, cannot be proved by anything else. The one who proves the existence of everything cannot be proved by anything else. Which means there is no proof. In fact, the proof is unnecessary here. Because the proved existence of the proved is the proof for the existence of the proof. There's no other proof. The very fact that what is proved itself is the proof for the prover being there. So, kena anyena janatam means it's not the actual question. It's akshepartha prashnaha. Kena anyena janatam. How can we know, how can we prove the existence of the one who proves the existence of everything? There's no proof, there's no evidence, because Atma is self-evident, self-proof. It said, Vijnataram kena vidyat. Vijnataram kena vidyat. Vijnata means what? The absolute knower of everything is called Vijnata. Rikarantaha pullingaha vijnatru shabdaha. Vijnataram is objective case. The knower, absolute knower of everything is this Atma. And him, the Atmanam, Avijnataram, Kena Vidyat. So, what's that by which we can know the knower of everything? The absolute knower of everything. What is that by which we can know the absolute knower of everything? We cannot know. We cannot prove. So, before, so the knower cannot be known by any instrument of knowledge. So kena anyena janatam, mean what now? The knower cannot be known by any other instrument of knowledge. Kena anyena upakaranena janatam. What does it mean? It is not possible for us to know any other instrument of knowledge. The knower cannot be known by any other instrument of knowledge. which means no pramanam can prove the existence of the knower. Because knower is the one, because the operator of the pramanam, the operator of the pramanam can never become the object of pramanam. The operator of the means of knowledge can never become the object of the means of knowledge. So pramanam, the means of knowledge, is capable of functioning only with respect to any object of knowledge. The instrument of knowledge, the pramanam, can function as the pramanam, as instrument of knowledge, only with respect to any object of knowledge. But pramanam can never function as pramanam with respect to pramata. The subject of knowledge. So instrument of knowledge can function as instrument of knowledge only with respect to the object of knowledge. It can never function as instrument of knowledge with respect to the pramata, the witness, the subject of knowledge. Therefore, what he says here, vijnataram kena vijnata. Therefore, vijnata here is the knower. How can the knower be known? What is the pramanam by the knower? Subject, the pramata can be known. There's no pramanam to know the pramata. The pramanam is only to know the prameyam. Vedye to sadhanam. Sadhana vedye, we have to say it here. Vedye to sadhanam chaktam. We break it. Vijnataram kena vidyat. Then shaktam. We together vidyat chaktam. We break it. Vidyat shaktam. So vijnataram kena vidyat. Vidyat means no. Kena vidyat, by what instrument of knowledge one can know the knower? No. The answer is no. The knower cannot be known by any instrument of knowledge. So, shaktam, sadhanam, vedyetu shaktam. Vedya means what? That which is to be known. Is Vedyam. So sadhanam means the instrument of, sadhanam is equal to pramanam. Vedyam means to be known, the object of knowledge. Shakta means is capable. So what it, sadhanam vedye shaktam means the pramanam, the any instrument of knowledge can function only within the realm of the prameyam, only in the field of prameyam, only the field of the object of knowledge. Only with respect to the prameyam, it can function as. It can never function as the means of knowledge with respect to pramata, the subject of knowledge, the knower. So means of knowledge cannot function as means of knowledge of the knower. It can function as the means of knowledge of the known only. Therefore, when we study Bhagavad Gita, we come across this word, you know, anashino prameyasya. the many times you'll come across this word, Atma, when there are many words revealing the nature of the Atma, and one of the words is aprameyaha. Prameya. It is important to know this. Pra is the prefix. Better know this. It is very important to know this. Pra is the prefix. Ma is the root. Ma means to know. The verb is mati. Mati means measures. When you add pra, pramati means prakrshena mati. That which measures means knows. Mati means measures. Pramati means knows. K-N-O-U-S. Pramati. Pramati means what? That which alone knows. Pramati means that which alone, there's only one thing which knows. Pramati. Atma alone is, Pramati means only Atma. Pramati means knows. Therefore, Pramati knows, verb, Pramata the knower. Pramati is the verb which means knows. Pramata is adjective which means the knower. Pramanam means knowing. The instrument of knowing is pranam. So instrument of knowledge is pramanam. Subject of knowledge is pramata. And object of knowledge is prameyam. That which can be known. The knowable, that which can be known, is prameyam. So, we have to understand all these words. Pramati is the verb. Pramata, the knower. Pramanam, the means of knowledge. Prameyam, object of knowledge. And up. Praya means unknowable, cannot be known. Atma is Atma being the absolute. Knower being the Atma, Atma will always be aprameyaha. Pramanam can function as pramanam only with respect to the prameyam, not with respect to the pramata. That's what he says in this verse. Sadhana Vedye Shaktam. Sadhanam Vedye Shaktam. So the pramanam can function as pramanam only with regard to the object of knowledge. So, yena idam janate sarvam. Tat kena anyena janatam, vijnataram kena vidyat, shaktam vedyetu sadhanam. This is the meaning. So, all the living beings have experience because of this consciousness. And it is the one who proves the existence of everything else is this Atma. So Atma, which is of the nature of knowing, which is of the nature of illumining, which is of the nature of illumining, thereby illumines and proves the existence of everything, cannot be proved by anything else. There's no proof for the Atma other than the proved. The proved itself is the proof for the Atma being there as the prover. So the knower can never be known by any instrument of knowledge. So therefore he says in this verse, Vijnataram kena vidyat. Nobody ever can know the knower through any pramanam. So, pramanam can be used to know the known, not the knower. Okay, next verse. Nave, that's why, what about Vedanta Shastram? Vedanta does not reveal us, does not reveal the Atma directly. Vedanta Shastram is a very unique pramanam. Vedanta Shastram. They help you understand what the knower is not. Vedanta does not. It's very important. Vedanta does not make us understand. Atma is an object of knowledge. Vedanta helps us arrive at the reality. Attaining aim of knower, not as the known. See, Vedanta is different. How it works. Okay, next one. Navetvayam tat sarvam. Naveti vedyam sarvam. Nanastasyamita. Nanyastasyasti vedita vidita vidita bhyam tat prithagbodhaswarupakam vidita vidita bhyam tat prithagbodhaswarupakam saveti vedyam tat sarvam nanyastasyasti vedita vidita vidita bhyam tat pritag bodhaswarupakam. So here sa veti vedyam tat sarvam. So saha, sa means visarga is dropped, you have to take it saha. Saha veti means what? Atma veti. Atma veti means what? Atma is not doing the act of knowing. By its very nature, Atma knows. Saha means saha atma. Here, what is atma here? Saha also means he. But here we don't take it as he or she. Atma. What is atma? Atma is a word which implies the reality in terms of its nature of reality. All Atma implies the reality. What is the reality? The absolute reality, which is of nature of all pervasiveness, in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Therefore, consciousness, the reality knows. Saha Veti means the reality knows. Why does it know? Because knowing is its nature. Kimartam veti. Why does the reality know? Why does Atma know? Because why does the sun illumine? If you ask the question, what will be the answer? Because sun is of the nature of illumining. So Atma is of the nature of knowing. But saha veti. He knows what? He knows vedyam. He knows tat sarvam. So Atma, the absolute reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, knows everything, sarvam veti. Everything means what? Everything that is to be known. Everything that can be known. Vedyam sarvam tat sarvam veti. How does the Atma know? Through all these innumerable, countless physical forms, innumerable, countless means, the innumerable, countless sense organs, and Atma knows the names and functions which constitute the external world of objects. Sarvam Veti means everything known anywhere, any mind is what? Known by the Atma only. Therefore, everything illumined here is illumined by the sun only. Whether it is anything illumined, any opaque thing illumined that during the daytime, whether it is illumined in Germany or in England or Sydney or India or any part of the world, anything illumined is only in the presence of the sunlight. You know, waking state, the world shines means only in the only the sunlight. Similarly here, it is the Atma Sarvam Veti. And how does it know? Obtaining where? This Atma, all pervasive reality, which is of the nature of knowing, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, through the minds, through the sense organs. No, obtaining there, Atma alone illumines the entire external world of objects. Sarvam Veti. Na Anyaha Asya Asti Vedita. We have to break it. Na Anyaha Asya Asti Vedita. Break it. Na Anyaha Asya Asti Vedita. Anyaha Vedita. See, Vedita means knower, pramata. Vedita means what? The knower. Rikarantaha pullingaha veditru shabdaha. Veditru shabdaha. Vedita means like jnata vedita. Rikarantaha pullinga shabdaha. Vedita means knower. Anyaha vedita. Other knower. See, of this. Other knower of this Atma is not there. Anyaha asya vedita nasti. Little bit of Sanskrit knowledge will help a lot to understand, isn't it? Asya idanudaya. In the Atma vinudaya, arihindravar veru illai. Anyaha asya vedita nasti. There is no other knower of this Atma, which alone knows everything through the physical forms, the minds and sense organs. Okay. Na anyaha asya asti vedita. Asya vedita anyaha nasti. Asya vedita anyaha nasti. So Atma alone knows everything through these innumerable countless physical forms, through the countless minds, through innumerable sense organs. It illumines, knows the entire universe. See how vast the universe is. Imagine. The world is never comprehensible for us. We can only simply say the world is so wide and big. The world will always be incomprehensible for us. We do not know when the time begins, we do not know where the space begins. The world will ever be incomprehensibly vast. This incomprehensibly vast universe now shines, it becomes known by only one knower. That only knower of this whole universe is this Atma. And then here, obtaining in physical forms, using this mind and sense organs, Atma alone illumines, knows everything. And that knower, only knower Atma, there's no other knower who can know the knower. Knower of knower. There's only one knower of the known. There's no knower of the knower. The only absolute knower is Atma. And then there's no knower of the knower Atma. விதிதாவிதிதாபியாம் தத் பிருதக் போதஸ்வரூபகம். நெக்ஸ்ட் லைன். So already you have negated what? There is no knower of the knower. There is no knower of the known, and the only knower of the entire incomprehensibly vast known universe is and he next ந அன்யஹ தஸ்ய அஸ்தி வேதிதா தஸ்ய வேதிதா ந அஸ்தி, which means this reality obtaining in the form of consciousness is ever unknowable, cannot be known by any other knower. So when we see each other, what happens? We look at each other, we know each other. What does it mean? When I say I know you, you can say you know me. What does it mean? We know the other person's body, which is object of knowledge. Similarly, other person also knows my body, which is object of knowledge. My physical form, other person's physical form, they're all objects of knowledge. Therefore, how many of us are there? All of us definitely cannot see, perceive, experience consciousness. None of us can experience consciousness. None of us can perceive consciousness as an object. We all perceive, we all experience, we all know our physical forms, which are all objects. We can never perceive consciousness. We never objectify consciousness, because the consciousness is the only knower, only reality obtaining in the form of knower in all the minds. Be very careful here, okay? Consciousness is the only knower in all minds. So consciousness can never become the object of our knowledge. We all see, we all perceive, we all experience. But when we are all together, we see, we perceive, experience, we objectify our physical forms. We can objectify our own minds, but we can never objectify consciousness. None of us, because consciousness is the only observer, only knower, only experiencer. Reality is the only experiencer obtaining in all the minds, as experiencer, as the knower. That's why we have to say here, we have to understand oneness of the consciousness, oneness of the reality. So the reality which is ever one and obtaining him of consciousness, which is always the subject, which can never become the object. And when we objectify, what we objectify are only our anatma aspects, the physical forms. Therefore, the next line, vidita avidita abhyam tat pritak bodhaswarupakam. Beautiful sentence. Actually, this line, vidita avidita abhyam tat pritak bodhaswarupakam, this actually this line Vidyaranya Swami has taken from Shweta Swatara Upanishad. Vidita means known. Avidita means unknown. Okay. This also, such a line we come across in Kena Upanishad also. Vidita avidita abhyam tat prithak. Vidita means known. Avidita means unknown. And a dual. Vidita avidita abhyam means tat prithak. That knower reality, the knower consciousness is distinct from the known and the unknown. So vidita avidita abhyam vilakshanam, that which is distinct from the known and the unknown. The known, the knower reality consciousness is not the known. The knower consciousness is not the unknown also. Because unknown is knowable. Before knowing, what is unknown becomes the known after the knowledge. Before knowledge, what is unknown becomes the known after the knowledge. Whereas knower is distinct from the known and the unknown. Very interesting thing, okay? You will have to learn, much better clarity should come here, this context. When you say unknown, when the whole universe is unmanifest, it is unknown. So unknown aviditam stands for unmanifest. Unmanifest implies ajnanam. Power of reality is known by the term ajnanam. The manifest is what? The manifest power of reality is jnanam. So aviditam stands for unmanifest. Viditam stands for manifest. Manifest is knowledge, manifest is ignorance. Unmanifest is also the power of reality. Manifest is also the power of reality. Therefore, if at all the same thing called unknown, what is unknown? Unknown is manifest. Avyaktam is aviditam. Vyaktam is viditam. Vyaktam means manifest. Manifest is knowledge. Manifest power of reality is jnanam. Unmanifest power of reality is ajnanam. So viditam is equal to jnanam. Aviditam is equal to ajnanam. Viditam is equal to manifest. Avidita means unmanifest. Aviditam means maya. Vidita means jagat. So I give too many words, okay? Vidita means known. Here the word known implies this universe. This word known implies the knowledge, the manifest power of reality. The word viditam implies the manifest power of reality, the knowledge, the universe. Aviditam means unmanifest power of reality, always called ajnanam, ignorance, avidya, maya. Therefore, viditam and aviditam are not name is avidya. The power is manifest, name given to the power is jnanam, vidya. So jnanam is the name given to the manifest power of the reality. Ajnanam, name given. Does not happen in instance outside of the reality, and the whole world which shines is that let me tell you again. Vidita, avidita. Vidita is a past passive participle, which means the known. So avidita means known, avidita means unknown. So here Atma, the knower is distinct from the known and the unknown. Means, the known stands for the manifest universe. Unknown means unmanifest power of reality called Ajnanam. So the whole world is knowledge manifest. You can say, the manifest power of reality is knowledge, which is in the form of the world. Unmanifest power of reality is ignorance. So knowledge and ignorance are two different words implying the manifest and the unmanifest power of the reality. And the reality is not distant but distinct from the power. Whether the unmanifest power called ignorance or the manifest power called knowledge. So vidita avidita prithak means the abstract formless reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness is distinct from knowledge and ignorance. The word knowledge is also used to mean the manifest power. The unmanifest power is known by the word ajna, avidita. So reality, which illumines ignorance and knowledge, that reality is of the nature of knowing, which is distinct. That reality, the illuminator of knowledge and ignorance, the knower of knowledge and ignorance. Knower of knowledge, knower of ignorance. Knower of the universe in the waking state, knower of ignorance in the deep sleep state. Knower of knowledge, knower of ignorance is the reality, pure knowledge, which is distinct from the known and the unknown. Unknown means ignorance. Known means the knowledge. Known means manifest. Unknown means unmanifest. The world being unmanifest is also known. The world being manifest is also known. Isn't it? The knower of the unmanifest ignorance, unmanifest in terms of ignorance, the knower of the manifest in terms of the world is one and the same. That knower can never become the known. Leave these words, vidita, vidita. Take these two words, knowledge and ignorance. What is knowledge? What is ignorance? Knowledge is the name given to the manifest power of reality. Ignorance is the name given to the unmanifest power of reality. And the manifest power of reality is in the form of the world experienced in the waking state. Unmanifest is ignorance experienced in deep sleep state. Therefore, really speaking, there's no such a thing called ignorance at all. What is only jnanam. You resolve jnanam in jnanam. You resolve the jnanam also is in jnanam. ultimately the source of manifest and unmanifest power, the source of the manifest power, the source of the unmanifest power, the source of the power is the powerful reality, is of the nature of knowledge, that is absolute knowledge, you know, absolute reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. That is why we use this word pure, to distinguish the pure knowledge from this manifest knowledge. The pure knowledge is the source of knowledge and ignorance. Therefore, the pure knowledge is satyam, the viditam, aviditam, both are mithya. They have no independent existence. Unmanifest or the manifest, power does not have independent existence outside of the reality. It is mithya. Therefore, you resolve the ajnanam in jnanam, resolve the jnanam in jnanam. You say what is only jnanam in the form of ajnanam and jnanam. Arive, arivagum, ariyamayagum, vilangukirathu. Knowledge alone shines in the form of knowledge and ignorance. Knowledge alone is shining in the form of known and the unknown. Knowledge alone is in the form of manifest and the unmanifest power. And that knowledge is the of the nature of knowing. Therefore, the only absolute, that knowledge which is of the nature of knowing alone, has the enjoys the status of being the absolute knower of the known. The known is what? Viditam, viditam. Unmanifest is known, manifest is known. The knower of the manifest and the unmanifest can never become the known. Is it clear? The knower of the unmanifest and the manifest can never become the known. The absolute knower is knowledge, which is Atma. Therefore, vidita avidita bhyam prithak. Now, interesting word comes. Bodha. That absolute reality, which is distinct from the unmanifest power, obtaining in the form of ignorance, that reality, absolute reality, which is distinct from the manifest power in terms of knowledge, is ever of the nature of knowing. Bodhaswarupam. Therefore, implied by the word pure knowledge, pure consciousness, Bodhaswarupam. Bodha means what? Knowledge. Swarupam means what? Nature. The reality is absolutely of the nature of knowing. Jnana swarupam, bodha swarupam. How do we know that? Because ignorance is known. In deep sleep state, in fact, whenever the power of reality is unmanifest, we call it a deep sleep state. That is ajnanam. Avidya. And avidya is what? Experienced. And who is the experiencer of the avidya? Bodhisvarupa Atma. When there is manifestation of knowledge, then there is jnanam. There is knowledge of the existence of the self. There is knowledge of the existence of the world in terms of world is. And who knows? Who is the knower of the knowledge? You know you are, you know that you did not know you are. Isn't it? Which means knowledge also is known, ignorance also is known. The knower of the ignorance and the knowledge, knower of the unmanifest and the manifest, is distinct from the known and the unknown. Is it clear? You are indirectly resolving the ajnanam. You are helped to see there's no such a thing called ignorance at all. There's only jnanam. This absolute reality implies the Tamatma or Brahma, which is of the nature of knowing, which is the only, which has the status of being the absolute knower from the standpoint of the known knowledge, from the standpoint of the known ignorance. Viditam means what? Known knowledge. Aviditam is what? Known ignorance. Okay. We say it has the knower status. There's that knower, absolute knower, can never become the known. And where can we place our I sense? I has to be resolved only in that absolute knower consciousness. So, prithak bodh swarupam. Prithak means what? Distinct. So, this absolute reality, the consciousness, pure consciousness is distinct from the unmanifest and the manifest powers. Ignorance and knowledge. Maya and the world, and that reality which is distinct is of the nature of knowing, which is the only knower which can never become the known. In his commentary makes it very clear. Viditam, aviditam, he says there as vyaktam, avyaktam. Vyaktam is vyaktam, avyaktam. Vyaktam means manifest, avyaktam means unmanifest. And the and these two, unmanifest and manifest, we look at as the power. Inseparable. We don't even call, then there's no power really speaking. He is of the nature of knowing. We had repeated, you see, this morning I was doing the Gita class. You know, early morning I did the Gita class. So, that in the fourth chapter one verse comes. Arjuna, yajnatva. Once you see, once having discovered this reality, obtaining as yourself, then you will see the whole world in you. You will see all the beings in you. Just as you see everything in me, you will see everything in yourself. It is Atmani Bhutani Drakshasi. Bhutani Atmani Drakshasi. You will see all the beings in yourself. You know, then I asked the question, is the water in the ocean, or is water is in the ocean, or ocean is in the water? Which is in what? Which is in what? Is water is in the ocean, or the ocean is in the water? All of them said, water is in the ocean. Isn't it? It looks like that. Water is in the ocean, we say. He is speaking, ocean is in the water. Similarly, since just a change. Similarly, are you in the world or the world is in you? If you look at yourself as the physical body, you are in the world. If you look at yourself as the reality, the pure consciousness, Atma, then the world is in you. Isn't it? It's a cognitive shift.
Sure is.
Therefore, so world is always there. The world shines only when there is manifestation, which is knowledge. The world doesn't shine when there is no manifestation, when the power is unmanifest, which is, that's why we call it Ajnanam. Really speaking, where is Ajnanam? There is no ignorance. There's just, whether you can say there are waves, there is stillness. Stillness or waves, just two different conditions. What is only water? Similarly, there is no ajnanam. Jnanam. That also has to become clear here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.